suicide among new mothers is a serious issue that's rarely talked about. According to a 2013 study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, suicide is the second most common cause of mortality in postpartum women. That said, suicide among women following childbirth is still fairly rare compared to the rest of the general population. There are a lot of factors that contribute to the problem. There's no single cause for new mothers, a combination of hormones, life stresses and changes, sometimes a lack of social support. They can all exacerbate feelings of depression. Our next guest is here to explain the pressures facing new mothers and what kind of help is out there. Jennifer Mueller is a counseling psychologist in the Behavioral Health Department for Gunderson Health in Onalaska. Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, how widespread of a concern, a problem, is suicide among women who have given birth recently?
Well, suicide is something that we want to take very seriously. And thank you for talking about this. This is a conversation topic that not enough people are talking about, concerns the sensitivity of it. And it's something that any family who has dealt with it, it's very severe. It's one of the leading causes of death among postpartum women, and so something more people should be talking about.
And is this connected to what we hear about postpartum depression?
Absolutely. There are different levels of mood concerns for women after they've given birth. From the initial what can be called postpartum blues, those can happen the first few days or a week or two after a baby is born. And that may include feeling overwhelmed, increased crying, some sadness, some anxiety, trouble sleeping. And that can easily turn into what we would consider more of a major depression or postpartum depression. And that can begin anywhere from the first few weeks up to a year after giving birth. And those symptoms can include more of that depressed mood swings, withdrawing from family and friends, a loss of appetite, irritability, feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, that you're not a good enough mom. And those can continue to escalate, feeling so overwhelmed, feeling that they just can't cope, that they're not good enough, to where thoughts of ending their life can occur.
And I imagine there's got to be kind of a spiral effect here where maybe that new mom or a mom a few months in is thinking, wait, I'm supposed to be happy as a new mom, and I'm not feeling that way, and that would just add to the depression. Is that part of what's going on?
Absolutely, and that doesn't even have to happen. That can happen within the first few days, not even weeks, feeling overwhelmed by the responsibilities of caring for children, feeling that they're just not themselves, that expectation society sometimes has that having a new baby is this happy, joyful time, and that that's not what they're feeling. And so some of the guilt, I'm not feeling what I'm supposed to, or I'm still, I'm not bonding as I am supposed to be or should be according to what TV movies or maybe family expectations are. And that guilt, some of that irrational thinking can just continue to ride upon the mom, making that depression worse.
Let's talk about the causes of this depression and ultimately leading sometimes to suicide. People might think a lot about hormones and the physical changes that come along with childbirth. This is also a major life change. Patterns disrupted, sleep disrupted, social connections disrupted. There are a lot of things, each of them on their own, that could cause depression.
Absolutely. So that is an important aspect. It's not just one factor. It is that combination of the lack of sleep, of the change in hormones, of the change in lifestyle. It may also have factors of if a woman has a history of depression or anxiety, that may increase her risk of experiencing some postpartum depression. If there's been stressful life events that have occurred during her pregnancy, if she's not experiencing a lot of social support or from her partner, or if there's even been obstetric complications and her own physical recovery, those are some of the signs or potential risk factors that may support a depressive episode.
Talking to Jennifer Mueller from Gunderson Health in Onalaska, talking about depression and suicide for women after they've given birth, soon after or even months after. And Jennifer, I want to spend the bulk of our time talking about what we do about this. And part of it, a point you raised earlier, was about that expectations game. Do we need as a society to be talking about, you know, it isn't always this rosy, happy, sunny picture after birth?
I think that's a very good point, that not everyone is experiencing that low that we sometimes talk about. And so the expectation that you're not going to feel the same, and that there, the expectation, hopefully, that women are beginning to hear, there is help, that this is a treatable condition, that talking with your family and friends, talking with your doctor, does not make you a bad mom, does not make you crazy, does not mean that they're going to take your children away. It, talking about it, opens up that possibility for support and resources and help.
When women are talking to their doctors as they go through pregnancy, is this part of the conversation? Of course, people are told about, you know, nutrition and sleep and what to watch for in a newborn. Are they talked to by healthcare staff about these maybe warning signs of depression?
I think that there's some information out there, and I would highly encourage women to talk more openly and directly with their doctors, with their family, their partners about it. We talk about having a birth plan of what you want to do during labor and delivery. I encourage women to be proactive about their mental health as well. What may be some signs and symptoms? What are treatment options that they can utilize, from having extra support in the home to the possibility of talking with other new moms, the possibility of therapy or even medication, if that is a necessary option, that they work with their doctor with.
What about people close to a new mom? What can they do, A, to help, and B, to watch maybe for warning signs?
Some warning signs may be just the lack of sleep. Obviously, with newborns, they don't sleep through the night. But if mom is having a hard time napping when baby naps, is not getting adequate nutrition herself, is so highly focused on baby's feeding schedule, if she's not leaving the house, if she's not engaging in some of her usual activities or hobbies, if there's this ongoing theme of anxieties, worries about baby, as well as the repeated themes, I don't feel like myself, I don't feel right. Those are probably some good signs and cues to keep having the conversation and to be so important for family and friends to know, to be direct, ask those questions. Are you feeling down? Are you feeling depressed? Have you had any thoughts of hurting yourself?
For the mom herself or those close to her or healthcare providers for that matter, what are signs that there might be an emergency situation here, that there's a serious physical risk?
Well, absolutely, there can be medical emergencies when it comes to mood, and that tends to involve the very rare postpartum psychosis, in which she is absolutely not feeling like herself. We see the rapid onset of severe mood swings, where behaviors, thought patterns can become very disorganized, where she may be talking about hearing or seeing things that other people don't, having delusions. And these are medical emergencies. They need assistance with the doctors and likely hospitalization to ensure her safety and to get the right type of treatment and medication.
Let's talk about social connections a little, because early in those childhood years, it can be isolating. You're spending a lot of your time, either you're off work at home a lot with a kid, or you come home from work, all your time is devoted to the kid. How important is it to keep those social connections up to help prevent that depression and to have that support network?
It's powerful. Social support can be crucial for a mom, especially a new mom who is apt to be really doubting her abilities. Am I doing something right, wrong? I don't want to be hurting my baby. To be able to connect with other people, to get some options, to talk about some of those concerns. So that may be parenting groups, that may be church groups, that may be just encouraging women to attend their usual social activities with family and friends. To reach out, to stay active. The more isolated they are, the more those thoughts and concerns can become malproductive, and she's not getting the support she needs.
And finally, do we have enough access to mental health diagnosis and especially treatment for those new moms in Wisconsin?
I think when it comes to overall access and treatment of mental health, the answer to me is clearly no. We need to continue to talk about it. Our conversations have encouraged over the years, but that openness, you're not a bad mom if you're feeling down. If you have worries, or if your mood is severely disrupting your mood. And so reaching out, talking with your doctors. There are support groups. There are hotlines. And there are options that are across the country, across our state.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for ongoing conversation about this important topic and safety for our families.
Jennifer Mueller is a counseling psychologist in the Behavioral Health Department for Gunderson Health in Onalaska. She joins us to talk about suicide and depression among women after childbirth, what women can do to stay healthy, and what their friends, family, and doctors can do to support them. If you're having suicidal thoughts or worried about someone close to you, here's the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The number is 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255.